Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, God bless you. Praise the Lord. This is Apostle Flowers. Yes, this is the first Monday of the month. You're listening to Kingdom Builders International Blog Talk Radio. I am your host. This is Restore of Paths to Dwell In broadcast that you're listening to. I'm Apostle Flowers. My wife is Apostle Angel Flowers. We thank God for you, our listening audience, those that are listening to us by landline and streaming us through via internet. We thank God for you. Again, I know you guys missed me the last time. I was out of town down south, actually, doing a work for the Lord on a ministry trip with a network, with the Global Apostleship, Global Network that I am with. We went to do some team ministry. I did a revival down in the North Carolina area, and God moved, and God moved by His Spirit. So, but anyway, I'm just glad to be with you on tonight. I thank the Lord for another day and allow me to see another day and another opportunity, a chance to be able to minister to you. Thank God for you. It's an honor and a privilege and to minister to you. And I thank God for those of you that are tuning in and listening to me under the sound of my voice. I do have a word from God for you on tonight. I want you to be strengthened. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be blessed. Also, too, I want you to be in high expectation. Yes, you will hear me always say that every time when the Lord had me to do this broadcast, or when I'm out ministering somewhere, that, you know, God always want me to tell those people to be in high expectation, because we don't be in high expectation anymore like we used to whenever we come to a service, a meeting, a revival. When we come to hear our regular Sunday service or Bible study, we come to hear word from God. It's not just the man of God or the woman of God that's delivering the message, but it's God speaking through them to deliver a word unto you concerning your circumstances, concerning your situation, concerning whatever it is that you're going through. And also, too, I want to take the time out to acknowledge our prophetess Teresa, founder of Kingdom Builders International. Thank God for her and Evangelist Hannah and those that are working with them behind the scene to make this possible for you. They are praying for you. You have those that are interceding for you, praying for you, keeping you in prayer concerning your situation, concerning your prayer requests and everything. And just have you in mind. Know that God has you in mind. God places you upon somebody's heart, and they're praying for you. You can have somebody across the globe somewhere on the other side of the world, and you can feel like you going through, you between a rock and a hard place. There's nobody understand. This has happened to me. That is happening to me. Seems like everything that seems to go wrong can go wrong, and you feel like you're all alone and there's nobody there, or nobody there to encourage you. It seems like you try to reach out to your prayer partner, they're busy, they're tied up with something going on in their life, or you're trying to reach out here and reach out there. It seems like there's nothing, you know, no one that you can reach out to or really talk to right now in this season of your life. But know this, God got somebody praying for you. God's got somebody that you don't even know about interceding and prophetically praying for you and have you upon their hearts. See, God brings our faces and our names before people, and they begin to call our name out, or they see our face and begin to pray for us and begin to intercede. I thank God, as the songwriter says, somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They took a little time and prayed for me. There's truth to that song. And I just thank God for that somebody had prayed for me and that somebody is praying for me now. Thank God for my wife also, who prays for me and encourages me and help push me concerning the work of the Lord, and also encourage me as being a husband and a father to our children and everything. And I just thank God for her, and also what God is doing, you know, with her and in her life. And we tag team together. We minister together. We flow together. We do team ministry together. And I thank God for her. It's a rare thing that you kind of like have a husband and wife that come together and flow. I'm not saying we're the only ones. You hear me now. I'm not saying that. But I don't know about anybody else, but I thank God for my wife, and we minister together. We flow together. We be in sync. And so I thank God for that. And also, again, I just thank God again for you, and I'm about to get into the word. I'll just have a quick word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you, Lord God, on tonight. Father, thank you for this broadcast, Lord. I pray that you move from the hearts of your people, Lord. Father, I declare and decree supernatural miracles being released on tonight, those that are listening under the sound of my voice, God, those that are going through and experiencing troubled waters, God, those that are going through trying times and that are experiencing a rock between a hard place, God, those that are going through in their bodies physically, Lord, those that are going through mentally, those that are going through, God, in circumstance, situations, God, you are a present help in the time of trouble. God, you said in Psalms 22, Lord, hear thee in the day of trouble, in the name of God of Jacob, we'll defend thee, and that you would send help from the sanctuary, and that you would strengthen thee out of Zion. And Father, I thank you for strengthening your people, supernatural strength coming upon your people. Lord, on tonight, God, in the name of Jesus, those that are being weary, Lord, because you said, be not weary in well-doing. If you faint not, then you shall reap the harvest. So I speak a supernatural strength upon your people on tonight, God, that they will not be weary, that they will continue to fight the good fight of faith. They will continue to persevere, God, that they will continue to press forward and press on, having done all to stand, that they will stand anyhow, stand anyway. And Father, I pray that you will cause many of them, their faith to come alive, or those that seem to be, faith seem to be kind of like dwindling down or, you know, beat down or won't, doubt and unbelief want to try to creep in. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would cause faith to come alive on tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord God, that you would stir up your people's faith, God, and that you would encourage them. I come against discouragement and disappointment in the name of Jesus. For the people of God are blessed. God said that you are blessed, that you are blessed, that you are blessed. God said, begin to call forth that which be not as though it were. Begin to prophesy. Begin to speak to your situation. Begin to speak to your circumstances. Be like Abraham. Call forth that, as you heard me say, which be not as though it were. You got to prophesy to it. See it as not as it is, but see it already done. See it, God has already worked it out. That's how you have to look at it. And Father, I praise you and I bless you for the people of God. I rebuke the hand of the enemy in the name of Jesus over the lives of your people. I cancel every demonic assignment. Father, I pray, let there be an open heavens, Lord, over this broadcast in the name of Jesus, over your people, Lord, let them feel and experience your presence, God, the way of your glory begin to come upon them, Lord. I pray, Father, that you release your fire right now, the fire of your spirit, those that need an infilling, God, a refilling, God, fill them, those that need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, God. Lord, baptize them, God, those that I want to receive from you, Lord God, and let them receive, God, in the name of you with the evidence, God, of speaking in tongues. God, I pray a closer relationship, those that have been desiring a closer relationship with you, Lord. Let them come closer unto you. So you draw, if we draw near unto you, you will draw near unto us in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, those that need clarity and direction and understanding, God, Lord, let that come forth on tonight, God, in confirmation, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we praise you. We bless you, God. I thank you, Lord, for every sick body being healed, sicknesses and diseases. I rebuke you right now. And by Jesus' stripes that you are healed, receive it right now. You are healed. Receive it right now by faith that you are healed. Begin to praise and thank the Lord for that promotion on your job. Begin to thank and praise the Lord for an increase in your finances. I'm prophesying to somebody on tonight. You better grab hold to it. Better capture it right now. God is moving right now. Lay hold to it right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you and I praise you and I bless you, God, in the name of Jesus. God, I just want us to give him the praise, the glory, and the honor. And as we begin to, as you begin to do that, then it is already done. God is already turning things around. And you find yourself that thing that the enemy had been trying to oppress you with or bring depression upon you, you would find it lifting off of you. You find that oppression breaking off of you. You find depression can't even stay. You find discouragement can't even stay because while you're not focusing at what's happening, what's not working out right, you know, in your life or this is going wrong or that's going wrong. You're not focusing on those things. You're focusing and putting your eyes on the prize. That's right, the high call of Jesus Christ. You're pressing towards the mark. So I want you to press toward that mark of the prize. That's what you want to keep your eye on. You want to keep your eye on the prize. And you want to forget those things that are behind, those things that are behind you, those things that are in your past that they need to keep trying to bring up, keep trying to bring up to hinder you from moving forward in your future. You can't do that because the past keep coming up. Memory recall keep coming up, and you cannot move forward. So God wants you to begin to cast down those mindsets, those old mindsets, that those way of thinking, those thoughts that the enemy try to bring to your mind, begin to cast it down, thoughts of the past hurts, and so on, begin to release it and let it go. You know, the past, you know, things that people have done to you in the past, God wants you to let it go, unforgiveness and bitterness. Begin to let those things go so that God can move you forward in your life, so God can move you forward in purpose and in destiny, so that God can bless you the way that he wants to bless you and prosper you the way that he wants to prosper you. But you have to, the key is you have to be in position in order to God to be able to do that for you. You have to be in position for you to be able to move forward in the ministry that God has ordained for your life. God has purpose. Many of you that listen to me under the sound of my voice, you have the call of God upon your life, and God has orchestrated your life. God has purposed, God has destined, God has planned your life. It has already been written before the foundation of the world, before the foundation of this earth. Know that when God has sent you here and called you to be born in whatever year, whatever month, whatever day, whatever hour, whatever second, it was purposed, it was planned by God. You're not an accident, so don't let the devil tell you that you was an accident, that it happened in the backseat of the Chevy, or you, that you was an accident, that you were a victim of rape. You know, God has purpose for your life, or that you know, or you was an accident, period. You're not an accident. There's not a such thing as you being born an accident. That is a purpose and a plan for your life. What the enemy had tried to mean for bad, try to shame your mother, or try to shame your father, God has worked it out, already out, for your good if you just follow the plans of God. I know many of you that are listening to me under the sound of my voice, I know that you are born again believers that love God, Holy Ghost, feel. God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and I'm going to show you that through the Word of God. And not only that, I'm going to show you through the Word of God that God has a purpose and a plan for your life, then there's something else after that. So just go with me quickly to Judges, the 13th chapter, starting at the 3rd. I'm going to read the 3rd through the 5th verse. I know many of you are familiar with this chapter, the book of Judges. We know that when it comes to the point, whenever there's bondage, whenever there's slavery going on, whatever there's oppression happening, God always raise up a judge. God always raise up a deliverer. And so, of course, because of the children of Israel, rebellion and disobedience, as usual, it will cause them to be enslaved by the enemies. And God will give them words of warning through the prophets and so on that, you know, this nation is going to take you captive. You're going to be enslaved to them and such stuff because of the hardness of your heart and because of, you know, your wickedness, because you're worshiping idols and rebelling against the Lord, our God, and so on, and everything. God would always warn them and tell them, especially when they would begin to go off in their ways. But know that God always will raise up a judge. God would always raise up a prophet. God would always raise up a deliverer, a voice, someone that would represent him and speak the word of the Lord and would not compromise, and that would speak the truth in love, and that would speak, thus says the Lord, and what God is saying, to turn the hearts of the people back unto him and to let them know that, you know, God still loves you in the midst of what's going on, what you're doing, but God is giving you a chance and a space to repent and to get it right. And so basically, God will raise up that judge. God will raise up that deliverer. And I know many of you are familiar with Samson. And so go with me to Judges, the 13th chapter, starting at the 3rd verse. I mean, you know that God, usually he'll send you a word, a prophetic word, and God will send a messenger angel to you to deliver his prophetic word. God will send, like I said, his prophet to you to give you a prophetic word concerning, you know, your purpose, your destiny, whether it's to your mother that has something to do with you, you know, while you were here, and so on and everything. But, you know, God always deliver a word and always confirms his word. And then Judges, the 13th chapter, starting at the 3rd verse, and reads as follows. I'm reading from the King James Version. It said, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son." Notice that this woman, she was barren and could not conceive a child. See, this is how God operates. God, I always move in an impossible situation. What is impossible with man is not impossible with God. All things are possible with God. And as the word of God said, to those that believe. So this is how God operates, to show God he's God. God moves in situations that don't even make any sense to us, in situations that seem like, you know, that's hopeless, that it ain't no which way or how that it's possible that this thing can work out or turn around or this or that and all that. This is what God do. He supersedes our natural realm. That's why he's super. That's what, when you put them together, supernatural. His super supersedes our natural realm, the natural mind. The word of God said the natural mind cannot conceive the things of the spirit. So it has, the things of the spirit have to be spiritually discerned. And so this is what God, you know, messes our mind up, messes our thinking up, messes up our logic, our reasoning, and so on, where the physical body, and, you know, the doctors would tell you, no, it's impossible, you can never have children again, you know, it's impossible, you know, it was damaged or this or that or this happened, why you cannot reproduce and so on and everything. And, you know, you the word of God said in Isaiah, I believe it said, whose report shall we believe? And if you believe out there, if you agree with me, the word of God said, we shall believe what? The report of the Lord. But you have some of those that are in the faith, supposedly in the Christian faith or in a denomination or something like that, but yet still don't really believe God, still don't really have faith to believe God for supernatural things or to believe God for the impossible, or still believe that God still works miracles, signs, and wonders. The word of God, I believe, is in Hebrews. It says he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God is still moving. God is moving behind the scenes when you don't even know that he's moving. He's already moving and already, you know, have already worked things out. But I'm getting back to the word of God here. So here we are. We have this woman here. She's can't bear. She can't conceive, you know, and bear a son. So now, therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. Now see, this is woman. She had a visitation from an angel, and which told her that, prophesied to her, gave her, you know, let her know that she's going to conceive a son. And not only that, but this angel was giving, the angel of the Lord was giving her instructions on what not to do, not to drink wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. He said, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. You hear that? He said, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God. Notice it says it, unto God from the womb. I tell you right there, from the womb. God had already had it mapped out, laid out concerning Samson. And she received the word of the Lord, and the angel was telling her, you know, from the womb, already given her instruction, because this is a special son. This son has a special call upon his life. He's going to do a special work for the Lord. She was given instructions of what not to do and what this son's purpose is. And his purpose was to deliver the children of Israel from out of the hands of the Philistine, from the enemy. Notice, even in your family and even in your home, notice when you come from a background, a dysfunctional family, there's some kind of dysfunctional going on in the family. It don't matter what background you come from. It don't matter what class you come from, whether you're upper class, middle class, or say lower class, poverty, or whatever. There's some kind of dysfunction going on in the family, you know, whether it's drugs, whether it's divorce, whether it's abuse, mental, physical, whatever. There's some kind of dysfunction that will go on in the home, whether it's educational-wise, you know, pride, not enough, you know, not getting enough love, you know, mother, father, that was really there because, you know, they sent you off to boarding school somewhere and they strictly just ingrained you, education, get your education, and really, you know, like I said, some kind of dysfunction, no, you know, no balance there or anything like that. But anyway, God always raise up a deliverer. God always raise up someone that will carry his message, that will carry his word. God always raise up someone that will carry out the purpose where one family member don't, or family members in your family line do not carry out or answer the call of God upon their life and carry it out. God would cause that mantle to fall upon the next generation that will do his will and that will carry out his assignment. And so here we are. Right here in the Word of God, you heard me say, for this angel gave her the instructions of the Lord, and then again, that his purpose was to begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. In Ephesians, the first chapter, in the third verse, it said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Let's get down to Ephesians, the second chapter, starting at the sixth verse, but listen to this again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Catch that. In heavenly places in Christ. Now, the Word of God said that we are dead and hid with Christ. And the Word of God also said that Jesus have seated us where? In heavenly places. When you become born again, when you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you become born again, then now you're no more of this world. You're no more in the systems of this world. You're born into the kingdom of God. And then when you're born into the kingdom of God, then now you're sitting in heavenly places. See, we all have a place, a seat in the heavenlies that God has placed us in, and that's where we're seated in heavenly places. So in Ephesians, the second chapter, the sixth verse, it said, and have raised us up together. Notice that raised us up together. There is no division in the kingdom of God. I know you see that among denominations here on this earth and earthly realm, you know, this fighting back and forth about doctrine, and you don't believe the way that I believe, so I don't want to fellowship or have nothing to do with you, and so on. Just so much division going on in the church. And but the Word of God says here, to my understanding, if we're reading from the same Bible here, it says here, according as he have chosen us. Now, remember, the Word of God said he's chosen us. We didn't choose him. He chose us in him. Catch this again, before the foundations of the world. Now, this is in Ephesians. I'm going back to the verse 4. Before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, this is the first chapter. I'm going back to the first chapter, verse 4. Let me read that again. According as he hath chosen us in him before, you hear that? Before the foundation of the world. So what they're telling you right there? Well, how can he choose me before the foundation of the world? So that means I had to be here before the world was created. I know that's messing up some people's minds right there. I know you probably read that scripture and read it and just heard it, you know, preached or something like that and just never really even paid attention to it and so on, but you got to catch it. Listen to this. It said, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Already from the beginning, that we shall be before the foundation of this world, before everything was created, before everything was formed, before God said, let there be light, and all that, we were already spirit beings in the beginning with God. Now, I'm not speaking blasphemy or talking crazy anything. I'm reading it to you right here from the Word of God. This is telling you right here, Paul telling you right here in Ephesians, the first chapter, the first, fourth verse. Write it down, take notes, go back and read it for yourself. It's telling you right here in the Word of God. It said that we shall be holy and without blame before him in love. So already telling you, already again from the beginning, God had created us to be holy and also to walk in love, to be before him in love, to have that love on the inside of us, having predestinated us. You hear that? Predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself according to the good pleasure of his will, not the good pleasure of our will, of what we want to do and how we want to do it, but he said the good pleasure of his will. Now, let me break it down for you. Let me give you the definition. You know, when you went to school, you know, you talk about the prefix and the suffix and, you know, and all that good stuff in the English class. But let me give you a definition of pre. It means earlier than, prior to, before, in advance, beforehand. So predestinated. We know already in hand, you know, before, earlier, in advance, beforehand. Let me give you the definition for destined. And it's to decree beforehand, to designate, assign, or dedicate in advance, to direct, get that? To direct, to devise, or set apart for a specific purpose or plan. So you mean to tell me that before the foundations of the world was, God had set me aside, already had me set aside, God had already purposed, God had already planned, God had already predestined my life. But I'm just so full of sin. I'm a wretched man. I'm a wretched sinner. You know, God won't forgive me. You know, God already knows that I'm destined for hell. And you already say that he know, you know, which I'm going to end up, where I'm going to end up anyway. So what's the purpose of me serving him? You know, I'm going to go to hell anyway. And it goes back to, again, beloved, free will. God gives us free will. Even though God has mapped out our life, he has already preordained before the foundation of the world. He already predestinated our purpose. It goes back to God's not going to go against your will. That's why you notice Lucifer rebel. That's why I notice he got one third of the angels to follow after them. God didn't, when he created the angels, he didn't make them out of robots. They had a free will. So if that wasn't so, then Lucifer wouldn't have did what he did. And so God did the same thing when he came to us, his creation, that, you know, he so loved. He said the same thing, free will. He gave us free will. And so if you end up in hell, it's not because of God or because God already knew, it's because of you. God has already given you the opportunity and the chance to accept his son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and as your Savior. That's why he so loved the world that he gave, again, his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not what perish. We all know that, you know, well, most of us know that from Sunday school, children's Sunday school or whatever. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. But he sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but through him that we all might, you hear that, might be saved. Again, they go back to choice. That word might, it's up to you. And thank God that he loved us so to look beyond our mess, our sin, and that his blood was shed for us to cover the multitudes of our sins, our mistakes, our mess up and so on, to give us that opportunity, a chance to get it right. And again, I know you heard me say this and say this before about, you know, you have, you know, grace has its place. You know, and you know, we have grace teachings and so on, and they constantly still, you know, just wearing it out and all that. It has its place. Of course, there's balance when it comes to grace. But I love the way that my wife, Apostle Angel, had broke it down one time. You know, how God kind of gave her the revelation of grace. She said, look at grace as kind of like a credit, so to speak, like a credit card or something like that. You know, they give you a grace period to pay it back, right? Like a five-day grace period, seven-day grace period, how many, you know, day grace period they give you to pay, even though it's due on this due date, you have a due date that you have to pay on your card or pay the whole balance off. So, you know, you have a choice. But so just say you don't make that date on that payment. So they give you like a five-day grace period to be able to get that payment in. Or if not, you're going to be penalized for it. There's some high penalties, you know, fees and all this stuff. They hit you with high interest and all this stuff and everything like that. So think of it, God has given you a grace period of time to get stuff right with him. And some people feel like, well, I don't have to repent the way it's being taught now, that you don't even have to repent anymore because Jesus' blood was shed, you know, for you. And because of his grace, you know, you really don't have to ask for forgiveness and all this stuff and everything, you know, these doctrines of heresies and of devils that are being preached. Jesus said that this was going to be in these end times. So just look at it as a sign that you know that this is your time clock of the coming of the Lord, showing you, because Jesus prophesied this in Matthew 24. He said, there should not be one stone left unturned one upon another. When the disciples asked him, when shall the end be? And Jesus began to tell them, prophesy, these are signs, but the end is not yet. But I'm just going to show you the signs which showing you, pointing you towards the end time. So just look at it as your time clock. You can look at the news, see all the stuff that is going on now with Israel and this whole thing with the peace treaty thing that they're trying to do. And it shall not be no peace. Can no man cause peace to happen with Israel and the Arab nations, you know, the Muslims and the Arab nation? It's not going to be only Jesus Christ, the only one that can bring peace. And so with this man-made thing trying to bring peace, it's not going to happen. So when you look at it and you see them, you know, trying to, you know, bring in peace and getting this peace treaty signed, let God know, then that's when we know that's the Antichrist coming forth. That's a sign right there about that seven-year peace treaty. If you read your Bible, read the Word of God, you will see these are signs. You see signs with, you know, with the laws being passed and everything, same-sex marriages and all these different things that are going on. These are signs of the end times that we are in the returning of the Lord. But yet it's great for the church, and this is yet the time for us to pray for those that the enemy has bound, and their mind and everything. We pray for their deliverance. God hates not the sinner, but he hates the sin, and that's why the shedding of Jesus' blood. If there's no shedding of blood, there cannot be no remission of sin. There cannot be forgiveness of sin. So that's the purpose, because through it, if we could save ourselves, then there would have been no need for Jesus to come or to shed his blood. So it's not possible that we can save ourselves. So that's why we need Jesus Christ. That's why we needed that, you know, that sacrifice of his blood for us, so that we can have the right to the tree of life, so that we can be able to repent and give our life to the Lord. And so what God wants you to do, God wants you to be that light, that purpose and that assignment, that, you know, that you're here and why God has created you and why you're here, so that you can be the light in the midst of darkness. With all this that is going on, this is the time for you to be able to pray. This is the time to start witnessing to your neighbor, witnessing to your fellow man, witnessing to those that are out there in darkness, showing them the love of God, not condemning them. Like I say, not tell them. They already know where they're going. You see them tell them, oh, you're going to hell. Repent, you're going to hell. They already know that. You begin to show them the love of God. You begin to show them and witness to them and let them know that they don't have to stay in the situation that they're in, that God can deliver them and that God can bring them out. You begin to share your testimony with them. See, that's what people are looking for those that will be transparent, those that will share their testimony, not hide your testimony. And I'm like, I love the way one prophet said, he said, show me your scars. Jesus showed his scars. Jesus showed the wound in his side. He showed the nail prints in his hands and in his feet. If he was not ashamed to do that, then what's wrong with us? Why are we trying to hide our scars? Why are we trying to hide our testimony? Why, you know, we don't want people to look at us a certain way. We don't want people to know about our past or what we did or where God has brought us from. And so that's the very thing. The Word of God said we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony. People need to hear our testimony, what God has done for us and where God has brought us from and how God has delivered us. And people need to know, because that's what people come to church for. They come to church for help. And a lot of people not coming to the church because there's really not too much transparency going on in the church, where the people cannot relate. People cannot, like, well, they cannot help me because, you know, I'm hearing messages about Daniel and the lion's den and the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. You know, okay, all that's good, but what about I'm going through in my marriage, my wife walked out on me and she filed for a divorce, or my kids strung out on drugs, or I'm about to lose my job, I'm about to get evicted out, you know, I need some help, I need answers, I need help, I'm going through, I feel like I'm about to have a mental breakdown, a nervous breakdown, and I don't know which way to turn, I don't know what to do, I need help. The church is supposed to be a hospital, the church is supposed to be that place of refuge, the church is supposed to be where people are supposed to be able to come and give their life to the Lord and get help and get deliverance and get what they need from the church, not when they walk in the church. We got stones sitting in the church hiding and waiting for them to come in and start throwing them and killing them. They're already coming in half, you know, just about dead as it is because of the life that they're living. And they're out there, and then when they come into the church, then we just finish them off, pick up stones and just kill them, stone them, throw them and just go on and Kill them off. I'm talking about kill them with our words, you know, kill them with judging them and condemning them. Oh, child, did you see, you know, her? She, you know, you see her skirt, or, oh, did you see him? He such, 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 and all that stuff. Us praying for them and encouraging them and just believing God for them. We just chase them right on, right out the door, right out of the church. But the church, you know, for us, saints of God, is a place that we supposed to come and we get equipped so that we can go out and take the gospel out to them and encourage someone else that need an encouraging word. You know that you have the word of life in your mouth, in your lips, for that person that's on the verge, that's about to get ready and commit suicide, just one kind word to them, and you allow God to use you to speak one kind word into their life that will stop that person from committing suicide. It, you know, be like, well, you just don't know that what you just said. You know, I was about to go and take my life. And I'm reminded of a story, true story of a young man who was going to take his life if he didn't, you know, hear anything from God. He said it's going to be the last time that, you know, he go to church, and if God don't deliver him out of his situation, he's just going to go ahead and just end his life, you know, that day. And so it just so happened, it was a good thing the pastor was sensitive to the presence of God, you know, just stopped his the service, the preaching, and so on, and everything, and system began to allow God to use and begin to operate out of our word of knowledge, begin to call out of this person that's on the verge, was about to get ready to commit suicide, and God said not do it because God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and God is calling you to come now. God is beckoning for you to come now. You don't have to end this way in your life, cut your life short. And this was the answer that this young man was looking for, and it penetrated his heart, and he came up, you know, that's me, and gave his life to the Lord. He saw that how much God loved him and how much God cared enough to stop the whole service to call him out, that one person to speak concerning his situation, that God had him in mind. And I want to let you know on tonight, yes, God has you in mind. You were birthed out of the mind of God with him in the beginning. That's why he thought about you. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't let nobody tell that you know you're ugly, you're this, you're that. And many of us experience, you know, trauma growing up where, you know, you were talked about and abused, like I said, physically and mentally, cursed out. You'll never be nothing. You'll be nobody and this and that and all that. Why? God has a purpose for your life, and the enemy wanted to destroy your mind, destroy you, thwart your purpose. And God, he wanted to pervert your mind and pervert your thinking. Why do we have homosexuality? Why do we have saying, you know, man with man, woman with woman? Is not because, you know, that the person was born that way. It's because something happened in their childhood, and also too, if you have any understanding concerning spiritual warfare through the bloodline, that spirit traveled through the bloodline, and the doorway was open, and that spirit was entertained, and that's how that spirit was able to enter in. And so a lot of times when a person is perpetrated, violated at a young age, molested, you know, and that's how that the spirit entered in, and that's how the person ended up in homosexuality or lesbian, you know, end up in that lifestyle. But God wants the lesbian to know, and the homosexual to know, that he loves them and that he does not condemn them, that you were not created that way. God did not make you that way in the beginning. God created male and female, created he them, and he blessed them, and he told them to be fruitful and multiply. When God created you, he didn't create no junk, he didn't create no mess. You were not, again, as Jeremy said, you were not a mistake, and you were not born that way. It's just a trick and a lie of the enemy. And there is deliverance. God can and will deliver you from that spirit. You know, all you have to do is cry out. It does not happen overnight. Yes, some God can deliver instantly, but some, yes, it takes a process. You're going through the process to get deliverance. That's with anybody dealing with something, whether it's fornication, whether it's adultery, whether it's you're bound by some kind of drugs or alcohol, cigarettes, you know, whatever it is. Some people get delivered instantly. Some people it takes a process. It takes some time. And just like the people that were sick, the lepers that were sick, Jesus prayed for them and told them to go their way and show themselves to the priest. And even as they went, some was healed as they were going, as they went. It takes the process. And some where Jesus had prayed for, they was healed instantly, right on the spot, right there. That's in the Word of God. And so getting back to the Word of God, I know my time is rapidly winding up, but I just want to give you what I can through the Word of God. I hope you're getting me, getting it out there, not me, but getting what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. unto you concerning, you know, why God has need of you, that you are not a mistake. God has a purpose and a plan for your life, no matter how old or how young you are, no matter your background, no matter if you didn't finish third grade, in your education or you know, whatever walk of life that you come from. God has need of you if you allow him to use you, and if you would just humble yourself and submit yourself unto him and not kick against the proof, not fight against God's purpose and plan for your life because you feel like you want to continue to have your fun and sow your wild oaks, so to speak, you know, get out there and still party until you can't party no more. I've been there, done it on many of you. That are listening to the sound of my voice can relate to me that used to live that kind of lifestyle, you know, partying and all that stuff, hitting the clubs or juke joints and all that kind of stuff, the bars and everything. And me, you know, start, like I said, I know many of you may have heard my testimony, many of you may have not, in song, you know, brought up in the church. And my first taste of alcohol at the age of 12 or 13, first can of beer, and that all that did was open up a door to, as I began to get older, 13, 14, 15 years old, to strong drink, you know, drinking gin and vodka, Mad Dog 2020, you know, all of this hard liquor and stuff, and smoking, getting high and all that. I was doing all things because, you know, I didn't have no peace. I came from a dysfunctional family background of fighting and violence and brawling and watching aunts and uncles fight each other as they was fighting somebody out on the street, pulling ice picks and shanks and all this stuff out on each other, police constantly being, you know, called to the house and so on and everything. So, you know, growing up in the household like this, the enemy, you know, just trying to mess up my mind, mess me up. I didn't know nothing about love, experience love, didn't know what, you know, love was. Love was a slap in the face, oh, you're getting smart, this and that love, and all this stuff was love. And so this is the way the enemy to try to destroy me from, you know, a young child. So now, reverse, going back a little more, my mother used to always share with me before I was, when I was born, just 3 days old, my great-grandfather, came to see me, and my great-grandfather did not have, was not a preacher, not a minister, did not have a prophetic bone in his body, was not spiritual or minister or nothing. And he looked at me and he said, "This boy is going to be a preacher. Mark my words, he's going to be a preacher." And that was something I used to always hear growing up, and I'm like, I couldn't see it. Like I said, brought up in the church. I didn't have no relationship, just brought up religiously, didn't have no relationship with the Lord. I was, you know, my family, you know, that was in the church didn't too much have a relationship with the Lord. I didn't see too much of an example, but I thank God they tried to do whatever they could. Or whatever, you know, so far as with me in church, my grandmother and everything, you know, keeping me in church and so on and everything. But it was that I just had to know Jesus Christ for myself and have a relationship with him. So I just knew him religiously. I just knew him when I got into trouble. I just knew him on Easter. I just knew him on certain special occasions of the year. I just knew him on only, you know, once or twice Sunday out of the whole year, out of the whole 365 days of the year, not counting the leap year. Jesus, that was about it. I just only knew him when I got into trouble, wanted him to get me out of trouble. And so not thinking, you know, and forgetting about the purpose and the plan of God for my life, God had already preordained, predestined my life, and just trying to get away from it because I could not see myself being no preacher. I could not see myself being a minister. I just could not see myself doing it. That was just far-fetched, far from me. But, I mean, you know, when God has destined your life, there's no getting away, getting around. If you don't believe me, ask Jonah. He can tell you and better tell you about it. But anyway, I just want to try to do whatever, you know, I wanted to do out there in the world, live my life. And just felt like, hey, then the devil just lied to me. I got all the time in the world. You young, you know, go and get out there and do whatever, you know, party, drink, do all this stuff. You know, you got all the time in the world. You know, you just wait till you get older. Then you give your life to Jesus. And that wasn't good enough. No, better yet, wait till you old. Then give your life to Jesus. Oh, no, better yet, wait till you're on your sick bed and you about to check up out of here. And then show, you know, I used to be a movie, you know, buff. I'm still, you know, still am, but, you know, watching growing up back, you know, in the days, you know, yeah, you watch some of the movies, you know, have that. No, please don't be offended by this, my Catholic brothers and sisters. You know, I love you. Thank God for you. Thank God, you know, and everything. So, you know, you see the priest on the movie and you see somebody that gets shot or, you know, laying out there on a curb or somewhere, accident, and all of a sudden the priest come out of nowhere and he come giving them, you know, their last right. So I, you know, the enemy was tricking my mind of saying, that's what I can do. I can say my last rites before, I check up out of here, and that'll get me into the kingdom. The word of God said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you think you're trying to get something over on God, then you can forget it. That's not going to happen. The enemy was sitting, God could have required of my soul a long time ago. I know I should not be here. I should have been dead and in my grave. I had a hit put out on me. But I don't have enough time to share my whole testimony. But I know the enemy had it in for me. You know, he wanted to take me out of here. But I thank God, God had mercy upon me, and God had chosen me, and God's hand was upon my life, and did not allow the enemy to take me out of here. I've seen friends and those that I went to school with die and leave here prematurely. And that could have been me. And I thank God in the times when God had called me to the ministry, and God had saved me, when I had a supernatural encounter with Jesus Christ himself, and my mind would go back and say, God, out of all the people in the world, I can believe, that you would, choose me. I know I should have been in hell, so my destination should have been hell. But you chose me. I didn't choose you. I know a lot of times you have people say, oh, I chose the Lord. I chose him. No, the word of God said we did not choose him. He chose us. And so, and I truly thank God for that, just for, giving me that the opportunity and chance each day that he allowed me to see another day. I just thank him. Just give me another opportunity and chance to be able to fulfill his purpose. And I'm determined, because I know God has sent me here on assignment. God has sent me here with a purpose. And in 1 John, I'm going to show you in 1 John, the first chapter and the third verse. It said, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. You hear that? And skip to verse 14. It said, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And who was that? Let's go back to John, the first chapter. It said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. Hear that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And so who is he talking about? Let's skip back to verse 14 again. Saying the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And who was that? Jesus Christ. That's right. He was in the beginning. So those of you that don't, it's kind of like they may not understand, it's kind of messing your mind up. Jesus was always in the beginning with the Father. And I'm going to show you that in Genesis, the first chapter, 26 verse. And it says, and God said, let us make man in our image. So was God schizophrenic? Was God talking to himself? God just sat around and said, oh, start speaking out loud. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Like he crazy or something like that. No. He's talking to Jesus. He said, let us make man in our image. And in Psalms 40 and 7, I believe it says this. And it said, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. And that's to do thy will, O Lord. And he was talking about that David was prophesying Jesus, about Jesus being written in the volume of the book. And just like we are written, it is written of us in the volume of the book. In Isaiah 53:2-5, Isaiah prophesied that Jesus, how he was wounded for our transgression, and how he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Already, our healing, our deliverance, already, before even Jesus even came, became flesh in John, as you heard me read in the Word of God, already, he was already wounded for us. He was already bruised for us, for our sin, our torment, our oppression, our chastisement, our peace was already upon him before. And with the stripes, we healed. You hear that? Already in first chapter. And we got a few more minutes. First chapter of Luke. It talks about Zacharias, who executed the priest of the office before God. You know, he executed that office. His position was to burn incense, you know, when he went into the temple of the Lord. And he had a wife named Elizabeth. Everybody know Elizabeth. She was a cousin of Mary. And so she was barren, stricken in years. She was, like I said, she was the cousin of Mary. The angel of the Lord appeared unto Zacharias and told him that the prayers were heard, and then how he shall have a son, and his name shall be called John. You hear that? The angel of the Lord came to him already, and came to him, gave him instruction, even told him what the name of his son is going to be, what the name of his son. Already, if that's not telling you enough right there. And he shall be filled, look at that, filled with the Holy Ghost from the womb, that he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. And he shall go in the spirit of Elijah and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. His assignment was to prepare ye the way of the Lord, to make people ready for the Lord. And that's what God is doing with us in these end times, like with the church, with the God's kingdom people, the remnant that God is raising up in this end time, those that nobody know about, that's not even known, don't even have a name, God is raising up. They're like, well, where did she come from? Where did he come from? Where do you come from? You know, I'm not familiar with you. I don't know who you are. Those are the ones that God is raising up. Those that have been in the back, God is moving them forward, pulling them forward. It's like the word of God said, last, even last, almost last in everything, passed over, forgotten about, last. When it comes to some, last to be picked, last this, last that. Now you're about to come forth. You're about to be first. And those that have been first is about to be last in these end times. And that's what God is doing in this end time move, as he has done with his apostles. Apostles in the early church in the first, and his apostles shall be last. And this shall be an apostolic move, an apostolic church, an apostolic raiment that God is raising up to close out not just the ministry of the apostles, not just the fivefold ministry, because it's just to perfect you so that you can do the work of the ministry. I'm talking about an end time room where the apostolic God, our apostolic spirit, his presence, the prophetic is going to be upon his people. I'm talking about those that seem like they don't, that does not have a pulpit ministry, those that are not called to a ministry gift office, but because they are believing in Jesus Christ, because they love the Lord and they serve God, God is going to do great things and work miracle signs and wonders through them, work the miraculous through them. They're just going to be like your ordinary Joe, your ordinary person, your ordinary homemaker, mother that take care of the home. Children are going to be moving in signs and wonders. God is going to use them, cause them to cause multiplication to take place like Jesus did when he blessed the bread and the fishes. God's going to begin to use the common ones that seem common in these end times that are believers in him to work and to do the miracles in this time. It's not going to be a fivefold movement, but it's going to be a kingdom movement. It's going to be all saints movement in this end time. That's what the whole perfecting of the saints is all about us coming together in the unity of the faith. The apostolic ministry is to preach unity, to cause unity, promote unity in the body of Christ, to break down the walls of partition among races, among denomination, nationality, among gender, and so on, to break all these things down, because there's no division. Again, as you heard me say, in the kingdom, you're not going to go up in heaven and say say you don't want to be with this denomination. There's no denomination in heaven. It's all about kingdom. So while you're trying to separate yourself from your brother and sister down here, you ain't going to be able to do that up in heaven. The prophet can't be like, well, I don't want to be with the evangelist. It's not going to be like that up in heaven. So you can forget about it. So again, it goes back to promoting unity. We might as well get it together, get it right now. Might as well start getting together. The things that are about to come upon this earth is going to cause the church to come together in unity. We ain't going to have no choice but to band and to come together to hear what is about to take place in this earth realm. I'm telling you, not only myself, my wife, and many others have had visions of martial law being passed with the military coming in and ruling and governing, you know, our here in the United States and so on. Just various things. I don't have time to go into it because my time is just up right now. And I'm sorry I have to close out and wrap this up. I pray that, you know, God give it to me, I can be able to pick it back up. And But I want to do this. I thank God for those of you that have tuned in and listened to this broadcast on tonight. Hopefully I can be able to pick this back up on the third Monday of the month. You can tune in. Also, too, you can listen to us in the archives. Go back, pull up Kingdom Blog Talk Radio, Kingdom Builders International in the archives, and look up Repair the Breach International Ministries. Our broadcast is Restore Pastor Dwell In. You can look us up, myself, Apostle Flower. Apostle Andrew, you can listen to our broadcast. If you missed this one or you missed any other broadcast, you can go into our archives and listen to our past broadcasts and everything like that. So we want to encourage you to be able to do so. But again, we thank God for you, for tuning in. We know that we love you. Again, we want you to be encouraged. And I want to take this opportunity to for those of you that may not even know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, tonight is your night, whatever part of the world, today is your day, whatever part of the globe that you're listening to this broadcast on, it may be daytime on the other side, it's nighttime here, but you can tune in and listen. Again, we're on every first and third Mondays of the month at 8 p.m., and so with that being said, if you would like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just repeat after me, and those of you that may be in a backslidden state, you want to give your life to the Lord, back to the Lord. He's married to the backslider. Don't let none keep you away from God. Just repent and just come. Allow him to do the work. You know, it's a process. Get delivered. Get in the spirit-filled church. Just repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, the Messiah who came in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. You died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I now confess all my sins and repent. I claim forgiveness and cleansing. I believe that your blood cleanses me now from all sin. Thank you for redeeming me, cleansing me, justifying me, and sanctifying me in your blood. If you just said that prayer, you are saved. Welcome to the kingdom of God, the family of God. The angels in heaven are rejoicing over you. I want to encourage you to get into a spirit-filled church that is preaching the whole word of God, that is not compromising, that believe in miracles, signs and wonders, that believe in healing and deliverance. Just get in there, soak it up, come there, go to every Bible study, go just get with somebody that's well seasoned, get into a mentorship thing where someone that, you know, that can be able to mentor you in the things of God, you know, get connected in new members class, whatever they offer at the church, get involved, get connected, because God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and God wants you to be able to carry that out. So with that being said, you want to be able to get in contact with us. You need prayer. I'm sorry I'm not able to open up the lines on tonight, but maybe next time on the next broadcast. But if you need prayer or anything like that, you can get in contact with us at area code 773-888-3356. That's area code 773-888-3356. And if you don't get anyone, we just leave a message, your name and your number, and we would return all calls in the order which we have received. So we want you to just, you know, be patient, and we will get back to you promptly as we can. Or you can write us with your testimony, praise report, prayer request. You can email us at scentworld@gmail.com. That's scentworld@gmail.com. And again, you can call that number that I have given you, 773-888-3356, if you want to know about any upcoming events you want to be on our mailing list to let you know where we're going to be ministering at. Like I said, we were down in North Carolina a couple of weeks ago. So if we're coming to your city or anything like that and you want to know, you want to be on our mailing list, you want to know where we're going to be at, you want to come to one of our events that we're doing, just, you know, give us a call, leave us a message or email us, let us know, and we would gladly love for you to come and your support and to meet you face-to-face and personally. And again, we thank God for you, and thank God for those that have tuned in and listened to this broadcast via internet, by landline and cell phone. God bless you, and with that being said, thank you. I've been listening to Restore Pastor Dwell In here in the Windy City of Chicago, where this broadcast was brought to you. And with that being said, again, tune in again on the third Monday of this month at 8 p.m. and listen to Restore Paths to Dwell In. God bless you and love you, and good night.